Hello and good afternoon from Vienna, and I welcome you to the conference call on the results of the first half year of fiscal year 2015-16 of Kapstreifikon. Overall, we have achieved a great deal, both operationally and strategically, in this first half year of the fiscal year. The program 2020, or more precisely, the Project Top Fit, which we introduced almost a year ago for increasing our profitability and also for adapting our strategy, represented significant steps towards strengthening both our earning basis as well as preparing for future growth. And when we look back to the last 6 months, we see that the project successes in the recent month reflect our strategy and the interim results, as you can see it from the first half year, show that the Project Top Fit is already a success. If you go to the page two of the presentation, which we sent out together with the invitation, you can see the highlights of this first 6 months of the year. And I would like to briefly go through each of those highlights as shown there. One particularly pleasing development and the great success in this first half year for sure was the award for the program CHARM, which we received in August from the road authorities of the Netherlands and in October from the corresponding agency in England. For both countries, we will deliver and install an advanced traffic management system of the newest generation. And this will enable the integration of the existing infrastructure in both countries, as well as the introduction of future applications and technology. What is particularly important for us, apart from the fact that it is a 60 million euro contract, which is one of the largest contracts we got during the last 2 to 3 years, is that with this system, the Kapstreifikon Group attains a globally recognized position in traffic management systems. And we can say that this is just as we have it in our core area of electronic toll collection. This makes us very proud, and we are very happy. It's also widely thanked to an acquisition which we did in January of last year, the former TransDigm Corporation in the U.S. Had a very strong contribution to make this success happen. During the first quarter of this year, we also received our first order for an end-to-end solution in the U.S. for the Ohio River bridges. And you know that in Europe, we are specifically positioned as an end-to-end solution provider, mainly for nationwide systems. End-to-end solution means we do not only deliver and install the system, but we also operate the system. We have never done that in the US, and with this order, we are now for the first time in position to present ourselves as an end-to-end solution provider also in the US. And with this order, we also have now the important reference for other such projects in the US, and we see, or we believe, that this may open up new potential for us on the US market. In Belarus, we received an order in August for the expansion of the existing nationwide toll system. We will add additional 323 kilometers to the Bell Toll system, and in total the road network will be about 1,500 kilometers in the meantime, You may remember that we started the operation in August 2013, and we will operate the system for 20 years in total. We got a couple of contract awards in Chile, and among others, we will install systems on the urban part of the Pan American Highway through Santiago de Chile. Overall, it's more than 20 million euro of contract volume coming from these different contracts, and we also got a larger onboard unit order of 400,000 units in Chile from our customer Costanera Group. We were also very proud in this first 6 months that we got two contracts for city solutions, and you may recall that one of one very important element of our strategy is to extend our business from highways, where we are very strong today, to cities. And we got a system award in the city of Prato in Italy, and recently a contract award in the city of Prague in the Czech Republic for a traffic management system enabling the collection and the evaluation of traffic data. So those two contracts are important milestones for us on the way to strengthen our city solution business. The acquisition of Streetline we have already presented to you in the first quarter. We acquired a majority stake in April in an innovative provider of smart parking solutions. Streetline provides real-time parking data, analytics, and other smart transportation applications. And they are already, they have already installations in 30 cities, universities, or corporate campuses in North America and in Europe. And the company is currently working on a major R&D development to enlarge the solution and the technology portfolio. And finally, Program 2020 and strategy. A significant element of Program 2020 was to initiate, or which was initiated in the previous year, was the adoption of the CAPS Trafficom strategy, which we then finally presented in April of this year. And this strategy initially sets three priorities. The first is operational excellence. So we have to become excellent in the business areas where we are active in. Secondly, we need to strengthen and secure the core business. There is a couple of contracts which are up for renewals. There is also some areas in our core business where we still see growth potentials, or where we even have gaps which we need to close. And the third priority is that we establish an intelligent mobility solutions business. And smart parking is already one important step in that direction. We also started this Top Fit program, as already mentioned, with the measures for reduction of costs and increased earnings. And we think that with the developments in the first half year, we confirm that we are on the right path as far as this program 2020 comes to. If I may ask you now to go to page three, which shows you the key financial aspects of this first half year. And you will see that the revenue of the CAPS Trafficom Group amounted to 245 million in the first half year, which is 3% above the previous year's value. If we look to the Q2 individually, you would see that it was a bit stronger than the first quarter with plus 7%. The EBIT, which was very high in the previous year due to a one-time effect in South Africa, rose again disproportionately in the reporting period and with an EBIT growth of 56% to 27.4%, we are therefore quite satisfied. We attribute this on the one hand to the revenue mix with a very strong onboard unit business, and on the other hand, to the successes achieved already with our cost-cutting measures. And the EBIT margin for the first half of the fiscal year is 11.2%, which places us at or even above the targeted level of profitability. I think we very clearly mentioned that 10% EBIT margin is our midterm target after 7% in the last year and 3% in the year before. If you look at the profit for the period and the earnings per share, you see even a much stronger increase than in the EBIT. Here we have to say that in the last year, we were negatively influenced by a couple of one-time effects and impairments in the financial results, which have not happened so far in this year. Free cash flow is still strong with 30 million. Capital expenditure went down also partly as a consequence of Top Fit program. On the net debt side, we could not fully make it back to a net cash position, but we are coming closer. So with minus 19 million, we approach the zero line. And on the balance sheet, you see that we slightly reduced the total assets and increased the equity ratio to 44.4%. May I finally ask you to go to page 4 with the outlook and the targets? This is the last slide I would like to use in the presentation before we come to the Q&A session. On the one hand side, we will, in the second half of the current fiscal year, pursue the concerted development of existing and newly acquired projects. So that means the system expansions in Belarus and in Poland. Both of them will also have a very important contribution to revenue and profit in the second half year. As far as new projects are concerned, you may have followed Slovenia. We have submitted our offer and we are waiting for a decision. In addition to that, we expect additional invitations to tenders or even decisions on other projects to come up soon. In Austria, the new invitation to tender for the toll system is currently underway. In the Czech Republic, we are waiting for a tender, which is likely to be in preparation. There is a major project in the offer phase in the USA, where we also see now the important phase of the project. And we are also in concrete talks regarding a nationwide project with a similar structure than we did it in Belarus. If you remember, in Belarus, we made an offer, an investment proposal to the government of Belarus to install a system and to operate it on a longer period of time. And we are now optimistic that we can replicate this very successful project also in another country. An emphasis we will, of course, place on the continued implementation of our strategy. We will, or actually we have already, slightly adapted the organization on October 1 to support the strategy. And the cost savings of the project Top Fit will be fully apparent by the end of the fiscal year, and we should then have closed all the measures. Whereas we are already on a good way there. On the basis of this promising, or let me, before I come to the financial the financial view of the second half year, I also would like to mention that we got a new Chief Technology Officer, Alexander Lewald, who joined the executive board of Cap-Traficom on the 1st of November 2015. And among other qualifications, Mr. Lewald brings with him considerable technical expertise, including in the intelligent mobility solutions area. And we are very pleased to be able to welcome him to the company. So finally, coming to a bit to the financials of the second half of the year, we think that on the basis of the promising results for the first half year, we anticipate that we will achieve an EBIT margin of 10% in the core business, as we expected this and did, and as we also indicated it already in Q1. We assume a stable to slightly increasing revenue in the current fiscal year. Some of the recent project awards and the system extensions will, of course, already affect the second half of the year. And this allows us to have a strong basis for additional investments in the future, such as the development of the parking business with Streetline already showed you. So this was an overview of over the first half fiscal year, and I'm pleased to answer your questions now, and would like to ask the first of you to come up with a question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star, followed by one at this time. And our first question today comes from the line of Daniel Lyon of S Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would have actually one question. I've seen recently that you were shortlisted for the interoperability in the U.S. by the Bridge, Tunnel and Turnpike Association. What impact does this have, and what kind of project potential does this include in your view?
Yeah, I have to go back almost 5 years when we acquired the Mark IV businesses in the US. And you may remember at the beginning, Mark IV was a pure component supplier. And one of the reasons why we had never entered the U.S. market was that there were only three suppliers with Mark IV, Transcor, and at that time a company called Zirid, which was sold two times in the meantime and now belongs to 3M. And one of the reasons why we couldn't enter is because there was proprietary technology, meaning each of those three suppliers had its own proprietary technology, and you could not sell into their installations. One of the first things we did is we sent a clear message to the U.S. market to say we are for interoperability. We don't think that it's to the benefit of the customers to have proprietary protocols because it doesn't allow competition. And we are used to open standards in Europe and almost all other parts of the world. And we think that interoperability is the right way forward in the U.S. And as it is also in Europe, you see, even if the different countries introduce other systems from other suppliers, at the end of the day, these open protocols allow that they will be fully interoperable later on. So you can make them interoperably very easily. And that's what is not the case so far in the U.S. And we have already opened up our protocol So we are now fully open with our protocol, and of course we see that there is a program in the US which exactly goes into that direction to come up with or to go into the direction of interoperability. And we are shortlisted, you are right, and we are very happy about that. And we hope that the decision will finally go into our direction. And that would mean, of course, that many systems in the US will have to be adapted to the protocol which is finally chosen. If it's ours, high potential.
Meaning, could you some extent somehow quantify what high potential means? Is it, I don't
No.
know, half a billion? Is it?
I wouldn't dare really quantifying it at the moment, because it would also depend how fast each of the authorities with other protocols would really make it happen. If all of them go for it, that could certainly be more than three-digit million euro, dollar, whatever. So that would be, and it wouldn't be necessarily one contract. It would be multiple contracts with different agencies. So it wouldn't be a one big shot. It would be probably a multi-years program.
By when would you think that this association would award a company to withstand with yeah
Well, look, at the
with
end of the day, it's not so much that they would award a company. They would first of all make a decision on the pro on which protocol, so which route they go. And I mean, every provider could then try to come up with a solution in accordance with that protocol. I wouldn't necessarily say that all would go to us, but if it's our protocol, we would of course be in a very good position. So I will not give you now a concrete figure, because it wouldn't help neither you nor us, because this figure could be the same as it is right. It could be extremely wrong, because it's hard to predict. For sure, it's a huge potential which is coming up, both on the component side as well as on the system integration side, and possibly even on the back office side there.
And there's no time frame for a decision that you would expect.
It's accelerating. So we see there's a couple of timelines. We clearly see that we are coming to in the decision phase now. So there has been a long investigation and a long discussion phase, but we're coming now into the real hot phase. But there is no deadline. There's no fixed date until when they will do it.
Is there any news to the Brazilian opportunity project?
Unfortunately not. So it's still there. It's still the intention that all vehicles in Brazil will be equipped with an electronic device, which is especially for vehicle registration, meaning that you have an electronic evidence that a vehicle is properly registered in the country. The whole project should or was a little bit jeopardized by the World Soccer Championship last year, and unfortunately did not regain the speed which everybody expected after the World Soccer Championship. So, and it's also, again, in this case, it's not one big decision. It's the regions which would have to decide and would have to make the awards. And this, unfortunately, takes a longer time than originally expected. But the project is still there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Louis de Montalembert from Play the A&M. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So you're guiding for 10% EBIT margin for the current fiscal year and a stable revenue, but it basically means that, let's imagine that in H2 you have the same trend of growth than in H1, then it would basically mean that you expect to have lower margin in the second half in the tune of 8.7% compared to the 11.4% that you achieved, or 11.3% that you achieved in H1. Is there an explanation why margin should be lower in the second half of the year?
No, of course not. First of all, you know that we are not giving guidance. This is something what we've done from the past. What we did, and may I refer to that, is that we said, before we started this program 2020 and this Top Fit project, we said we based as all our cost reduction activities to an artificial revenue of 500 million euro. So, well, that's a little bit below what we had 3 years. That's a little bit higher than what we had in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we said, with this 500 million of assumed revenue potential, we would like to gain an EBIT margin of 10%, so 50 million. What we also said is that this is only addressing or concerning the core business. So, the investments in strategic developments, like we did it in smart parking, would certainly negatively impact it. And there is, of course, no reason why the second half should be less profitable than the first half. It's just that we are still a little bit cautious in the communication, because we have to admit that the 11% surprised us a little bit. It went much faster and quicker than we assumed it in the last 6 months. And let us say, let's wait for the third quarter. If the third quarter will still confirm the trend, then we would probably become more optimistic also for the full year. So, again, there is nothing what would now indicate that the second half should be worse than the first half.
Okay, thanks. I have another question regarding the long-term prospect of the company. So we've seen in the last couple of years that basically your problem was to get new projects and a lot of tenders that have been cancelled. It sounds like you're coming back in the game and there are new tenders and that you're winning some. The question I have is not regarding what is your growth prospect in the next coming years, but rather to understand what is, in your view, the growth of your market in the coming years. I mean, it sounds like it's a necessity for a lot of countries to set up tolls in their system or to renew systems. I mean, how do you see your market evolving in the coming years?
Well, we see a couple of things. We see, starting with Europe, we still see countries which are going for a nationwide tolling system, like Austria, Czech Republic, Poland, Germany, Slovakia, Hungary, Belarus. So Slovenia is one of those, and there will be more to come. Secondly, we see that sooner or later we will come to passenger car vehicle tolling. I mean, so far we only talk about truck tolling, but we see more and more discussions also on expanding those systems to all classes of vehicle. This is a long political discussion, but sooner or later it will likely happen. And I don't know if you follow the latest political discussions in Brussels, where they say they would like to come to go away from the vignettes in many countries and to go to electronic systems, which is probably a much fairer approach than we have it today. Because for passenger car vehicles in most countries, you have paper vignettes with fixed prices, which are not user-based. So that's the one thing. We see a trend to traffic management systems like in Europe, like we saw it recently in the Netherlands and in the UK. And I think with what we will deliver there, that will immediately also raise the interest of other countries. That's our expectation. When we come towards the Eastern Europe, we still see that there are countries which need additional funding methods to finance the expansion of their highway systems and highway networks. And we see countries there with which are almost as large as a country like Austria and have just a minor percentage of the road highway network like we have it in countries in Central or Western Europe. So we still see investment need in Eastern Europe. We see strong dynamics in Central Asia. So in Central Asia, we see that there is more and more countries which look into our business, into electronic toll collection. We still see not so much activities in Asia, to be honest. Australia, Oceania will remain strong. There will be more and more, even a little bit smaller projects. We expect Middle East to show up. There has always been projects, simply we have not addressed all of them. Now we are becoming more optimistic on that region. Africa will highly depend on the continuous discussion in South Africa. South America will show projects, more smaller projects, especially concessionary business. Yeah, and North America. I mean, the U.S. is the largest single market in the world with almost 40% of world market share. It's less than 20% of our revenue contribution so far. And there is projects. It's not projects of the same volumes like in Europe, where you have nationwide systems and you operate them for 10 years. But there is a larger number of projects all over the country, and we think that there is some growth, significant growth there. So the market research studies predict a growth rate of 8 to 9% of the overall market. If we look back to the last years, we would see it lower than that. So probably in the last 2 to 3 years, we would estimate that the market grew by probably 6%. So just 2/3 of what they predicted. But there is no reason why that shouldn't immediately change.
But does it mean that you've lost market share in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, we've lost revenue, you know. Or, I mean, if you look back 3 years, we were at 549 million, and we lost quite some revenue over the last 2 to 3 years.
But whom did you lose market share to then, if the market was growing in the meantime?
Yeah, that's exactly why we say we do not exactly follow these estimates of the market research studies, because if we would break it down by projects, we wouldn't know. I mean, we can go through it. What we lost or what we did not win was Hungary. What we did not win was Belgium, whereas Belgium is just in the process of being rolled out. So I wouldn't necessarily say that we lost a lot of market share, because retrospectively, we did not see the large project to be awarded to other companies. Of course, Russia was a pity. I mean, in Russia, we wanted to win this large project. It finally came in another way. That hurts. Of course, in the U.S., we lose the one or other project, the same as we win the one or other project. So, directly compared to our strongest competitors, I wouldn't see that we lost market share.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press the star followed by one. Are there any further questions from the phone lines? And our next question comes from the line of Daniel Damasco of RCB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a question as regards the outlook. You mentioned in your slide that you are targeting a new nationwide project with a structure similar to that in Belarus. Is this the same project which you originally in the previous year outlined as one new project in a former Soviet republic? And as regards a potential new project in the USA, could you give us some kind of order size or sales potential?
Yeah. Yes, it's the one is still the same project. Please understand, we are not allowed to disclose which country it is. But I give you an hint, like we already did it. If you look into our disclosures on the countries where we recently opened subsidiaries, you will find this country. But again, sorry, we are not allowed to disclose it. The largest project in the U.S. currently is somewhere around $80 million. And it's on the East Coast.
And does it refer to an ITS or an
No,
incident?
That's a toll project.
Okay, thank you.
So that would be more or less the largest recently. I mean, the one in Texas was of similar size, a little bit smaller than that. But it's a nice one, and that's for even for U.S. terms a large project.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one. Then yes, we have a follow-up question from the line of Louis de Montalembert. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you again. I have a question. So I understand your cash balance is improving. The cash flow is getting better. So you should turn cash positive, I guess, and maybe not in this fiscal year, maybe the next one. Are you acquisitive? Have you made acquisitions, or would you contemplate making acquisitions in the future, maybe to complete your technical capabilities or get some new clients? I mean, is it something which is foreseeable that you would make acquisitions? And if not, what would you do with the cash?
Well, as we have disclosed in the presentation of our strategy 2020, we clearly stated that we will screen the market, whether there are acquisition opportunities to shorten the time to market or even to give access to technologies or solution portfolio which will help us to enter this intelligent mobility solutions market faster than we would do it on our own or with our own resources. Well, I have to say I'm responsible for global M&A as well. So we are currently very dynamic in that respect. So we look at a couple of opportunities. There has no decisions been made. As you saw in the past, we are not a company which overpays targets. If there is a reasonable risk opportunity ratio, and if it has the appropriate strategic fit, we are certainly in a position or willing to make an investment. You are right, we have the cash at the moment, but that doesn't mean that we will spend all or large parts of it on acquisitions, but acquisitions is certainly on the radar screen.
Okay, thanks a lot.
To ask a question, please press the star followed by one at any time. Okay, there are no further questions from the phone lines.
Yep, so let me say thank you very much for participating this call. We are on a good path. I think that's the key message which I want to leave you with. We do not dare being over optimistic at the moment, but there is no reason, as already mentioned, why the second half shouldn't be as pleasant as the first half was.